All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
We put the picture's name on everything.
Oh, look, he's got a billion toys.
Baseball's the t-shirt.
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run?
Baseball's the lunchbox.
I have to possess this comic.
Baseball's the breakfast cereal.
I have Amigo Isis action figure.
Almighty Isis.
Baseball's the coloring book.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Shut up, kid. You weren't even born when Star Wars came out.
You fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want.
What the hell is this music?
I didn't pick it, sir.
Well, it must be Pete's fault.
Pete's fault? Is that the theme we're running with?
That is. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 85. It's all Pete's fault.
Did you see the episode name for last week?
No.
Well, nobody saw the episode name.
He didn't put it up yet?
He didn't name it.
That
was his rebellious nature. No name.
It should have been the episode...
We know what it should have been. The epic...
Epic saga of episode 84.
Yeah, no, it's just no name. He's fighting against us.
No, that's got to be corrected.
Well, he's not here to correct it, is he?
I don't see him.
Is that my fault, too?
I see Pete Abrams.
I do see Pete Abrams.
Creator, artist, fault, writer of Sluggy Freelance.
Hello.
Got to be the best online comic out there right now.
Well, I would just like to say woot.
In studio tonight with us for the duration of the program. And we're very happy to have him. And thus the title, It's All Pete's Fault, because tonight, Pete Abrams running the show.
All right.
Fantastic not in the house. Producer Pete Abrams stepping up to the plate.
Wow-wee.
That's it. So Pete is picked Through the Fire and the Flames by Dragon Force.
Should I explain that song?
Sure.
In the game Guitar Hero 3, it's the one where you hold the plastic guitar controllers and you jam out the songs. It's the most difficult song in the entire video game, and my daughter loves kicking my ass playing it. She's on easy level. I'm on medium, but still, I can't keep up with
it. And she's slaughtering you on Dragon Force?
Yes, she is. And
level, is it kind of like red? Blue.
No, it's decent. On easy, it's not so easy. But on medium, it's like, holy crap. And hard is just like, you need like cocaine or
hard
something.
Hard is like Slash.
Have you played that Rock Band game yet, Pete?
No, I've heard crazy good things about it, though. But I can't see myself getting enough people together to form a band.
I saw the setup for it the other day. I think I was in Best Buy. And, you know, some dude was playing with the guitar like you would see in Guitar Hero, which was cool, whatever. But... the drum kit, it's actually like a 4-pad electric drum setup. I was pretty impressed with it for a video game. I don't know. It was kind of cool.
Yeah. Like I said, I've heard great things about it.
In the vein that this is all Pete's fault, we should say, Pete Strip, Sluggy Freelance, you can check out at SluggyFreelance.com.
Well, actually, it's Sluggy.com.
Is it just Sluggy.com?
I own SluggyFreelance.com. I just haven't done anything with it yet.
You should bounce it to Sluggy.com.
I know I should. It's like number 327 on a long list of things I really, really, really should do. But
so when people go to SluggyFreelance.com, what do they see?
I think they see a network solution little...
Oh, really?
We're going to put our own stuff here since Pete hasn't done anything with it yet. Go to Sluggy.com. That's all you need to know.
And don't forget our exclusive Melody Anderson and Sam Jones commentary for the motion picture Flash Gordon from 1980. Still available at the website, the limited edition DVD and or the MP3 download. Watch the movie and you can listen along as Melody and Sam talk about their experiences making the film. I'm going to quickly tell the story of how Pete is here tonight because it really is a year-long epic saga.
All right, go for it, sir.
And it's also all my fault.
It is.
Uh-oh.
It is all Pete's fault, as we've mentioned before. I have several friends we have several people who listen to the show and who read my former column, Critical Toys, who had contacted me and said, you really need to check out this webcomic called Sluggy Freelance because it's really right up your alley. I mean, they talk about all the stuff that you talk about. The guy's obviously knows all the same stuff that you know. You should check it out. You should check it out. So I did check it out. I found it hysterically funny, but it seems like that I had, that I wanted to now go back and read it all. You know, like when you were a kid, and you picked up your first X-Men issue. Let's say it was, X-Men 120, because right. That was mine. And then you wanted to read the previous 119.
Sure.
And so that's the way I was. And then I found out, oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. The books, the Ark of the Covenant is less rare than getting, at the time, than getting the Sluggy Freelance books.
Okay.
And so I called my friend Ada, who is a humongous, humongous fan. And I said, thanks for turning me on to the strip and everything. I think it's really great. Could I borrow, because she had one of the books, could I borrow? Absolutely not. Wow. Okay. Well, could I come and read? Absolutely not.
Now you know how Fantastic feels every time he asks you to borrow a DVD.
I don't know.
Rejected.
Well, look, my DVDs and Pete's books, entirely two separate topics.
I'm just saying, that's all.
All right. So, moving on in the story. I'm going to San Diego, not this year, but last year.
All right.
Was it last? I think it was last year, yeah. And I see that Pete's name is on the guest list.
So you're ecstatic.
So I'm like, all right. So I'm going to go, go say who I am. Tell him, we want to have him on the show. Talk about the strip. I'll hang out. We obviously have a lot in common. He's obviously from New Jersey. He mentions Route 80 in like the first, within like the first 10 strips or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's within the first 2 weeks.
Yeah. And nice. I was like, oh, this is definitely a Jersey guy. So we would definitely be able to hang. It's obvious we have a lot in common. So there it is.
Just to be specific, wasn't it they summoned a demon and they accidentally summoned him onto Route
80? Into Route 80, yeah.
And they had to summon another demon?
Right. And So I went to San Diego fully expecting to meet and greet and befriend Pete Abrams.
All right.
Well, let me tell you something about Pete Abrams and San Diego Comic-Con 2 years ago. They never met. Because Pete Abrams blew off San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, not... Well, technically, I guess kind of... This is what happened to the best of my recollection. My assistant at the time had set up a signing place for me for Comic-Con, and we were considering going. But when we looked at all the logistics, we decided to not go. And I announced on the site that we're not going to Comic-Con after all, and I thought it was taken care of. Obviously, somehow, it got left on the program guide. So
myself and about two dozen fans waited
patiently.
I don't know that I would describe it as patiently. Waited. I would describe it as waited for Pete to show up. And, of course, these rabid fans of Pete and Pete's work, when I said who I was and what I was doing there and what I was trying to accomplish and the fact that I did not know every single thing about the strip, they start speaking back and forth to each other in Greek or in Sluggy Freelance. And I'm like, guys, I don't know what you're talking about. So I got a nice 2-hour seminar on the strip. So I'm like, I gotta find this guy. So then I wrote a couple of times. I never heard anything back. Which brings us to does that bring us to Comic-Con this past year?
I don't know. There's so many elements to this story.
I always forget. I think it brought us to Comic-Con and Pete was actually going to be there this time.
Okay.
So I went up to the booth and I introduced myself and I said who I was and, what I was trying to do and what I had been trying to do for the previous year. And there had been all sorts of and Pete was very gracious and he said, oh, he's very sorry that, there was communication issues. And no, that was last year because that wasn't this year. You weren't in San Diego this year, were you?
I don't think this was Comic-Con. Maybe it was New York Comic-Con?
It definitely was not New York. No, it was definitely San Diego. So it was actually the first story where Pete didn't go to Comic-Con was 3 years ago.
Okay. Right.
2 years ago at Comic-Con, I met Pete.
Okay.
Okay. Now we're good.
Now we're good.
And Pete said, so now I met Pete and Gloria, who is sort of your assistant, kind of.
Well, she's helping me with some jobs.
Right.
She can.
Right. So I met Gloria. So we met, and I said, this is who I am, and da 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 da. And he gave me this, which I'm holding in my hand right now. This is a plush Bun Bun.
Right.
Bun Bun is a character in the book. He was supposed to be... I don't want to get into the whole history of the comic because that'll be the whole show. But basically, it's a plush rabbit who's holding a knife.
How adorable.
Yes, it is adorable. And I was like, oh, that's really cool because I recognize from what I had read that this is the character and so on and so forth. And my understanding at the time was that you can only get these... when Pete had them or you met Pete or something like that. I don't know exactly what the story was. So after meeting Pete and Pete said, yeah, I love to do the show. I'd love to talk to you about it more. I live in Rockaway. I live in Bloomfield. Let's get together and have lunch. I'll get you books. The whole thing. I set you up the whole thing. I'm like, okay, cool. So I got off the phone and I called my friend Ada and I said, hey, I just met Pete Abrams, and she screamed into the phone. Oh my God, you met him! Oh my God, la la la! And I'm like, yeah. And he gave me this little stuffed rabbit with a knife. She goes, and there was just silence. You got a Bun Bun? I was like, yeah. And she goes, oh my God, you have to give it to me. And I'm like, no, I'm not giving it to you. Why would I give it to you? She goes, you don't understand. They're impossible to find. I was like, I'm not definitely not giving this to you, and you are not welcome in my home because I know exactly because it's crazy. She's talking crazy.
Sure.
Just to let everyone know, we do have more plush Bun Buns in the store. So.
Oh, okay, good.
So now they are available.
Yes, yes, yes. They are no longer. They're downgraded from Holy Grail to merely Titanic relic.
Getting more of those in the store was number 227 on my list of things I really needed to do.
Gotcha.
That one I got done.
Nice. That's good. Scratch a line through that one. So, and then what happened was a series of email blunders for a year.
Okay.
Right? Leading up to, about a few months ago, where Gloria and Pete and I were playing email tag, where they were getting some of my emails, and I was getting some of theirs, and not getting some of theirs, and they were not getting some of mine, and it was just a jumble.
A short version of that is our mail server that we were using. For some reason, it was randomly not letting some mail through, or it was letting some through but not letting replies go through. So we switched over to Google to help run our mail, and that messed up some other things. So that was all kind of circling around while we were trying to get in touch with each other. So
right.
None of it was my fault.
It was certainly not your fault.
Unlike the title of the episode.
Right. But finally, through a series of good communication, Pete and I were able to sit down a couple of weeks ago at the Nevada Diner right down the street from Studio A.
Wowee.
Yeah, I grew up in Glen Ridge, so this is my stomping grounds around here.
Right.
Ah.
So, and
good fries.
And we got along famously. Mm-hmm. And so Pete said, you know what? I think I could tolerate sitting in and doing your program.
Wow.
And thus, Pete is here with us tonight.
Well, welcome, Pete.
Well, thank you, OG.
Pete's going to hang out. He's going to chime in if he has something to chime in about.
Okay.
And we'll talk a little bit more about the strip later on in the program. But we should get to the news, because I can tell already this is going to be the epic saga of episode 85. And no, that's not the name, Fantastic. The name is It's All Pete's Fault. And he had better change episode 84. To the right title, or there will be problems.
I might be able to sneak in there and do it myself.
Well, good.
I didn't want to step on his toes.
Did he put the pictures up? Did he put the photo gallery up for it?
Yes.
You're lying, aren't you? You're lying to me.
Mostly.
Oh, this is unbelievable.
All right, let's move on with what we have to discuss this evening.
Okay.
Let's start with JLA. Because why not, really?
JLA, the movie?
The movie.
Okay, I'm already sick of this topic, by the way.
So apparently, in an interview with an Aussie, I believe, radio station, Christian Bale made reference to the movie American Heroes and how the Batman that will be in American Heroes is nothing like his Batman. Which led to all sorts of internet speculation and rumor that perhaps they're not going to call the movie JLA.
Okay.
That they're going to call it American Heroes.
Okay.
I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's good. I don't know if that's bad.
Well, maybe it's going to be Hydro Glide Batman or Sonic Suit Batman or one of the other kitchen sink Batmans that we never, ever see. unless it's a toy coming from formerly Hasbro, now Mattel.
Well, then they should call it Kitchen Sink.
The Kitchen Sink Batman.
Of course.
Yeah. I tell you, we have a piece of news about this film every week, and I can't stand it every week. It sickens me that they're moving ahead with this project. Sickens me.
But I'd like to stick with the topic of American heroes. Can I do that?
Sure.
The A-Team. They're American heroes, right?
Frightened as to where you're going with this, but I'll play along.
Apparently, John Singleton is slated to direct Fox's big screen adaptation of The A-Team.
Michael Clark Duncan as B.A.?
Might be too big for B.A.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, so who he's a get? Big dude, but...
Who you gonna get?
I don't know.
What about the weather guy from Family Guy?
Yeah. It gonna rain!
There you go. Apparently, the film...
Ollie, isn't that his name?
Yeah, Ollie Williams.
Ollie Williams.
Apparently, the film will be less cartoony and more serious, more in the vein of Die Hard and Lethal Weapon, according to what I read online.
Yeah, because Lethal Weapon... Absolutely not funny in no way whatsoever.
And it will be updated from the Vietnam era to reflect a more contemporary series of issues and politics.
Of course.
Of course.
I'm just... Is there no new ideas in the world?
There is no new ideas.
Ugh. Well, look, speaking of old ideas, Zorro, which is an idea I never get tired of, ever.
Gayblade?
I love that movie.
I know you do.
That movie's fantastic. I don't care what anybody says. George Hamilton, two good film roles in his life, and that was one of them. But Zorro, now in the control of Dynamite Entertainment, somebody else was doing a Zorro. It was all cartoony and awful, and I didn't like it or buy it. It was terrible. However, I will be buying the Matt Wagner written Zorro series with art by Francesco Franciavilla.
Wow.
Remember him from Black Coat?
I do.
That awesome sketch in my book.
That's a stellar
Pete Abrams was checking out that sketch in my book just tonight.
Oh, the Black Coat sketch?
Yeah, the Black Coat sketch.
It is pretty.
Super impressive.
And he is going to be doing Zorro with Matt Wagner.
Wow.
Yes, it's true.
I'm interested in that.
Yes, it's... I guess the first issue is going to have covers by, I guess, Francesco... And John Cassaday, Matt Wagner, Mike Mayhew. I mean, apparently there's going to be a whole bunch of covers for the first issue, which is kind of Dynamite's forte. But I'm really looking forward to reading the series as written by Matt Wagner. That's very exciting.
Okay, well, let's bring up another series. Well, maybe it's not the series. I guess it's back to the movie. G.I. Joe. Let's go a little G.I. Joe this week again. I think we talked about this off-air last week, but we didn't actually reference it on the show, so I wanted to make sure we got it in there. Ray Park, cast as Snake Eyes in the Joe film.
Yeah, seems right.
Good,
yeah,
bad.
Seems awesome. I like that idea.
I like that idea, too.
He's a nice fella.
As a martial arts expert, he would seem appropriate. Is Snake Eyes that short, though? Isn't Ray Park really short?
Yeah, but, I mean, it's all relative, really.
Yeah, maybe they could Hagrid him or something.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, yeah, all that forced perspective kind of stuff.
What, up half a foot? Instead of 5'3", he's 5'9"?
Hey, there you go. Look, he's towering already.
That's probably like $2 million just to get him 6 inches taller.
All right, so I just wanted to throw that out there. But I can move on to other stuff. I have plenty of other stuff, sir.
Okay, go ahead.
Let's talk a little bit about Iron Man... And Hulk. Talking about the movies now.
I was going to say, let me guess, Iron Man's going to be green.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, what?
Good call.
That could happen. Hulk is going to be red.
Sure. So we've heard some rumor, or I guess it's not really rumor at this point, but we've heard some chatter that Sam Jackson is going to be playing Nick Fury in some aspect in the Iron Man film.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently... There is a scene being shot for both films involving Sam Jackson in the role of Nick Fury. It's going to be shot at the same time. Not sure if it's going to appear in both movies, but somehow it will kind of tie the two together a little bit. And of course, the running theory is that this is the launch point for what will eventually become Marvel's Avengers movie.
Right.
So that's pretty interesting, I guess.
Yeah,
Finally, a tie-in between the Marvel movies. That's kind of nice,
You know, now let's see. They got to not screw up Captain America.
Well, yeah. Let's stick with Iron Man first.
Oh, Jesus.
And we'll slowly move. No. I don't have no more Iron Man news. Let's get through the Iron Man movie. Let's get through the Hulk remake.
Well, let's talk about... And then we'll go to Cap. While you're talking about Iron Man, let's talk about the Iron Man toys, which were announced and shown this week.
Ooh, are these the movie toys?
They are.
Very nice.
They are interesting.
I like the Mark One.
The Mark One is, of course, the first set, the big bulky one. So I think the first series is going to consist of the Mark One, the Mark Two, which is kind of a sleek down version of the big bulky gray suit, the Mark Three, which is the orange and yellow one.
Okay,
right.
And
it's going to fit those three. It will also feature Ironmonger, who is one of Ironmonger is one of his villains. I don't know that he's in the film.
Okay. So,
which I'm a little confused about.
So stop right there.
Okay.
We know that Hasbro, who I'm assuming is doing these figures, and Mattel have a history of placing characters in toy lines that don't necessarily appear in the film.
Right.
Most of the time what ends up happening is they appear in, let's say, the video game adaptation of the film.
Okay.
I seem to remember they did this with Superman Returns. There was wasn't there a Zod figure or something in there that was not or maybe no, it wasn't Zod. I'm sorry. It was Brainiac. It was a Brainiac figure that was in the Superman Returns movie line, wave 2 or 3 somewhere along. Obviously, he never appeared in the film, but he was one of the lead villains in the video game.
Right.
And I believe Hasbro did that with some of the Spider-Man movie figures. There were some villains in there that came on the Spider-Man movie card that appeared in like the Spider-Man 3 video game. Might have been Scorpion, I think, is the one that I'm thinking of. And
there
maybe
were a
even
bunch.
Lizard.
There was Lizard, the Lizard. Mysterio, I mean, there were a lot.
So that doesn't surprise me. Probably it'll be a tie into the game, would be my guess.
You're looking at some of the pictures of those pieces right now. And the Iron Man figures, that is. I think they look really great. I mean, they're the 6-inch scale. They had to make a special announcement that they would be 6-inch scale, by the way, which I laughed my ass off when I read. Because
it's a more of adult line.
Oh, is it?
It's for collectors.
Really?
For...
Really? Like the FF figures?
Yeah, exactly. You mean, and the Ghost Rider figures, et cetera?
The Ghost Rider figures, which are somewhere in between 4 and 6 inches, which I guess is 5 inches. But yeah, they want to let everyone know they're in scale with Marvel Legends, and you know it's a good way to pad out your Marvel Legends collection. Pete, you do any toys?
I collect games, like game miniatures.
Okay.
That's something I'm into.
Well,
I used to really be into HeroClix for a while.
Oh yes,
for a long time. I got a lot of really nice pieces for that.
Right. We have to discuss your Kingdom Come HeroClix.
Oh yes. Also, I've kind of switched over to the Dungeons and Dragons miniatures and the Star Wars miniatures.
Okay.
I kind of like that system a little better than HeroClix because it seems like when you're playing, especially in Star Wars, when you're playing the characters, they seem better represented.
Right.
Like Luke Skywalker acts like Luke Skywalker.
Right.
When you play in the Star Wars miniatures, when you play Superman and HeroClix, you run out from around a building, you shoot someone 10 squares away, and you run back behind the building. Ha ha. Because that's what he can do with his text, but that's not the way Superman acts.
Right.
But yeah, since I have a new baby, I actually don't play much of anything anymore.
So she's kind of your ultimate action figure.
Yeah, a little bit.
Hyper-articulated, I hear.
Yeah.
She has many, many points of articulation.
Many.
Many, many. Yeah. Pete's actually, did you hear Pete talking before? Pete's going to come down and play Pirates with us.
I did. I was very excited.
That is very exciting.
It's a dream. A dream.
It's a dream that we will make come true for you, sir.
I hope
Big Kev's Geek Stuff into making dreams come true.
Really?
Yeah. Well, for some people.
We could talk about that a little later in the news segment. I have something that I think that we might be able to help with.
What else you got news-wise?
All right. Let's go to a little bit of Indy 4. A little bit more details coming out about the storyline, the time frame, the setting, etc. Like we said, I guess it was 1 or 2 weeks back, based on Shia LaBeouf, however the hell you pronounce it, his greaser hair and motorcycle jacket. We estimated the movie would take place in the 50s. So, of course, it is set in the Cold War 1957.
Ah, told you.
Indy has settled into the quiet life of a professor. He was the but once archaeologist is thrust back into danger, and the adventures will take him through New Mexico, Connecticut, Mexico City, and the jungles of Peru.
Wow, Connecticut, huh?
Yeah. Apparently,
a dangerous place, Connecticut. Is he going near Torrington, Connecticut? Because
I don't know.
That is like,
whew. Just keep an eye out for the ninjas. You'll be fine.
There you go. There you go. Deadly ninjas. Cate Blanchett will be in the film. She's playing a Soviet Union agent, Spalko. Ray Winstone, who you may know from the recent Beowulf, will co-star as an unethical rival archaeologist. We already know Sam Witwicky's role in the film. And apparently the movie will also revisit bits from some of the earlier films, including Karen Allen's Marion Ravenwood character
Allison.
From Raiders of the Lost
Come Ark. Come on. Everybody knows this already.
Of course.
That it's Indy's kid, and she's the mom, and Shia LaBeouf is the kid, and he's the dad.
Right.
My God, enough.
And apparently, the title of the film is inspired by a real quartz sculpture with disputed origins that are carved in a way that defies the natural structure of naturally forming crystal. So there's your Indy 4 update. Really, most of that is I don't care kind of news.
Well, let me say this about that.
Okay.
Batman, Gotham Knight, coming this summer from Warner Brothers Animation. It's Batman, a straight-to-DVD animated adventure. It's going to be 6 short stories that are being produced by different Japanese studios. And they're trying to say that this will take place between Batman Begins and Batman The Dark Knight.
Okay.
So that's very exciting. And actually, you can catch a preview of that in February, late February, when Justice League The New Frontier, the second direct-to-DVD animation produced by DC and Warner Brothers, which follows Superman Doomsday that we enjoyed so much.
Oh.
This would be based on the graphic novel by Darwin Cook. Darwin Cook going to be on this program in February.
Very nice.
And, of course, the usual Bruce Timm, Michael Galgen on as producers. And this will chronicle the founding of the Justice League as told by Darwin Cook. They're going to use a Darwin Cook-styled artwork in the animation. There'll be a regular and a two-disc edition. And that will include a preview of the Batman Gotham Knight upcoming film. And you want to see how we chain everything together here on this program?
Chain, sir. Chain.
And arriving in stores this week from DC Direct, it's the New Frontier Action Figures Series 2.
I really like that figure that you're holding there in your hand.
I do. I like all of them.
The Dr. Fate figure?
Let's talk about them real quick.
Muy bueno.
4 figures in the line.
Okay.
The characters are Dr. Fate.
Right.
The Flash.
Nice.
Martian Manhunter.
Alrighty then.
And Batman.
Okay, terrific.
They are done in the style of Darwin Cook. If you haven't checked out New Frontier, you can get a beautiful slipcase ultimate edition of it.
Oh, really? That's
they've
that's
done
out?
That. Yeah. Oh, it's oh, out. Okay. Yeah, yeah. I haven't gotten it yet, but it's fantastic. And this is Series 2, as I said. I'm sure more are planned. They're very stylized. They're simplified, yet stylized. You know what I mean?
Right.
I want to comment. They're gray figures, DC Direct. You're probably looking at them right now. I'm sure you are, in fact. The Flash, Dr. Fate, Martian Manhunter. And I just want to say something about the Batman figure, if I could really quick. And really, the Martian Manhunter.
Go
Martian
for it.
Martian Manhunter looks like he has Buddha's face. He's got that Buddha smile, and he's smiling, but his eyes are closed.
Let me see.
See?
Oh, God.
See, Pete?
He's not nearly as round as he would have to be Buddha. But
he looks like if Buddha was a superhero.
If Buddha was a superhero.
That's what he would look like. Or at least the guy they call Buddha, the fat laughing guy. I want you to show you this Batman.
Okay.
Because I think it's hysterically funny. I'm showing you. Now, all right. This Batman looks like he has drawn a breath in, and he's kind of holding it there.
He's got the inflated chest.
Yeah,
thing going.
He's all puffed out, but he's kind of arched. He's slightly arched back a little bit, like he did this. And he's going to hock a loogie on his enemies. That's what it I swear that's what it looks
well,
like.
Well, it would make a great companion piece to Mattel's taco chunk blowing Superman.
Yeah, bad taco Superman.
We have hock a loogie Batman.
He does. He looks like he's poised to hock a loogie.
You know what it also looks like? It looks like he's on the beach and some hot girls are walking by and he's trying
yeah,
to
and he's like,
buff.
You know, that kind of Jack LaLanne buff where no steroids. It's just like, I'm sucking in my gut and puffing out my chest. That's what he looks like.
Oh, God.
It's a great figure, though.
It is a great. Well, you know, it's Darwin Cook style. And if you like Darwin Cook, it would stand to reason that you'd like the figure.
DCDirect.com. You can check those out for more better information. You can always go over to BigKevsGeekStuff.com and see bigger versions of the pictures that you would be seeing if you were watching this on iTunes or on your iPod or however it is that you watch it to get pictures.
Okay.
Ooh, that's how we trail things together.
All right. I don't have a way to trail what I want to go into next, so I'm not going to even try.
We'll just
I'm
make just
gonna,
it my fault.
It is your fault. It's
way
entirely
to go,
your
Pete.
Fault. You're distracting me. Sorry. My segues aren't Sorry. Nearly as good with you here. Brandon Sanderson, who none of you probably know, maybe a small exception, this is the gentleman who has been selected by the family of Robert Jordan to complete A Memory of Light, which is
Ew.
The final chapter of the Wheel of Time series of books. So for those of you who don't know, Robert Jordan passed away, I believe it was in September of this year. I think he was
109.
11 books in or 12 books into the series.
I thought
and
it was only 10 books.
He had one left to go. And he passed away. So this gentleman, Brandon Sanderson, has been picked to do it. And there are two things that I wanted to mention here. You may know him from the fantasy novels Elantris, Mistborn, and The Well of Ascension. But
okay.
I wanted to talk a little bit about, just briefly, what it is Robert Jordan died from, because I didn't know this earlier in September.
Toxoplasmosis?
No, amyloidosis. Now, I bring this up only because amyloidosis, I've never heard of it before until this past season of House, where it seems to be one of the possible diagnoses for everything.
That and lupus.
Yeah, everything is lupus
either
or
amyloidosis or
season.
Lupus.
I don't get it. So it's kind of a little tie into our personal preferences on this show.
If you're interested in picking up Wheel of Time Book 10, check out your local Dollar Tree.
Oh,
where
really?
Where you can pick it up in hardcover for a dollar.
Wow.
Saw that yesterday when I was buying decorations for the party.
All right. Let's stick with comic books for a second.
Okay. I have a few.
Okay. You want to go first then?
Couple of recommendations for this week. Of course, continuing in the great vein they've already started, Simon Dark, The Grotesque Guardian of Gotham City, number 3. Has come out. It's a little bit of a darker vigilante for Gotham City, and I'm liking it. I'm liking the way it's going. I'm liking the art. I'm liking the story. On the cover, he's holding some thug with just a saw to his throat.
Nice.
It's like a handsaw to his throat. It's awesome. It's really growing on me.
Nothing
I got to
like
tell you.
A little
you.
Bit of the ultraviolence.
But it's only suggested at this point.
Sure.
You know, I think that's good. And from our friends over at Archaia Studios Press, Ooh. Home of Mouse Guard.
We love the Mouse Guard.
A brandy new book called The Engineer.
All right.
It's issue 1 of 4. It's a 4-issue miniseries written by Brian Churilla and Jeremy Shepard. At least that one had a good name. Illustrated by Brian Churilla and the colors by Jeremy Shepard. And it's a fascinating little, just sort of one of those out there looking sort of books. I'm kind of passing it over to Pete Abrams right now so he could take a look. Not a lot of text, but what is there looks very interesting. It's a weird little read.
Okay.
And I like it. I want everyone to give it a shot. Our friends over at Archaea Studios Press always put out rather interesting material, and this follows suit.
Definitely different than the norm.
Definitely.
So we like them for that.
And I just want to say this. Can I just say this?
Go ahead. What was that, sir? What are you tearing up over there?
I've had it.
Do you know that you're committing a crime against geekdom everywhere? I don't care how terrible a comic book is. You never tear it up.
If I was tearing up a comic...
This is not my fault.
This
claims no responsibility for this.
You know there's a tree shortage in the world?
Okay, but
and
how...
Because there's a tree shortage, I feel it's important that we point out that there's absolutely no need for a book that's free and given away, Marvel's Greatest Collections.
Okay.
It's basically a 30-page ad for Marvel's trade paperbacks.
Okay.
Everybody knows that Marvel trades everything.
Sure.
If you're in a half-decent comic shop, they either have the trades or can get them for you. Is there any need for this?
Remember, there are always new people walking into comic book shops every week. We encourage them to do so. Are you done, Taryn? Can I move on with the news? Because
sure.
I have something I want to talk about.
It just
about.
Really upsets me. I'm so fed up with the way that company is run. I just don't get it.
I know.
They have no care whatsoever.
I mean,
it's bad enough that they waste trees to print some of the shit that they print as it is. But at least to some extent, most of their crap has some sort of following.
Sure.
This is just extraneous and useless.
Can we talk about brown coats?
Sure.
Just a little bit.
Sure, love brown coat.
Okay, so the brown coat cruise happened, I guess it was a week ago or so. For those of you that don't know, this is a fan-run event for fans of Serenity and that television show, which I shall not name because I don't want to play the theme song.
What television show?
Exactly. At the brown coat cruise, one of the guests was Ron Glass. For those of you that don't know, Ron Glass was the gentleman that played Shepherd Book, both on the TV show and in the film Serenity.
He was also on Barney Miller.
Was he really?
70s.
I knew him. Thank you.
Barney
Thank
Miller.
You.
See?
Really?
Every time I saw him in that show that I obviously don't know what it is, I was always like, I know that guy. I know him.
Oh, you could say it. I just can't say it.
You know, OG. OG. Oh, you can.
OG can't say it?
No.
I'm not allowed.
Why is that?
He's allowed to say it. He's afraid for some stupid reason.
Yeah. Why would I be afraid? Anyway, let's move on with what I'm trying to tell here.
Okay.
Ron Glass apparently
got drunk, fell down.
What?
Ron Glass? Drunk,
about him.
Fell down?
No.
Okay.
He kind of leaked a little bit of information that there is going to be a comic book coming out sometime next year called Tales of the Shepherd. About Shepherd Book.
Really?
About his past.
How about that?
Why he was so mysterious and who really was the man that made up Shepherd Book.
Well, that's got to be coming from Dark Horse.
I would assume so, since they have the license to do
that. They have
stuff.
Said that there are a lot of...
there's some stuff on the horizon,
yeah,
apparently.
I
so
guess that's one.
That's pretty exciting. That's
that
all
is.
There is really right now, but it's something for us to hold on to and eagerly wait for. So there it is. Heroesforheroes.org.
Okay.
Have you heard of this?
No.
Did you check your email today?
No.
Apparently not. Have
is
you
that
heard
the
of this
one you
Pete,
sent me?
No. It sounds right. Vaguely familiar.
This is an organization. It's a nonprofit group that takes donations, both monetary and stuff, and they put together these packages of movies, music, comic books, games, and they send them to soldiers overseas.
Nice.
If you go to their website, you actually can make a donation, be it monetary, or if you want to send them something, you know, send them a couple of comic books or a DVD or something like that. But they also have an area where you can submit a soldier. So if you have a family member, perhaps, that's serving in the military and you'd like to send them something, you can. You can have it arranged so that they get on the list to get some stuff.
That's really cool.
That's really cool.
It's fantastic. And they actually, in addition to that, I guess they did some special art auction, and they've got some really impressive images, all different versions of Captain America, kind of modernized and in the realm of the war. And I really think that as fans of this show, this is something you should check out. Again, it's heroesforheroes.org. I would encourage you to go there. I'd actually like, and I'm going to throw this out live, and let's hash it out. What do you think about maybe trying to get some of our fans to send some stuff for us, and we can make a big, maybe we can make a package to send over to them?
Sure.
As the fans of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, as our show, and help them out, because I really do think it's a great cause.
Absolutely. You want to handle that?
Sure. So fans of the show, we're calling out to you to help us out, to help out the soldiers serving for us overseas. If you'd be interested in donating something, go to heroesforheroes.org, check out what it is they're collecting, what it is that they recommend you send over. Get in touch with me, and I'll give you some information where to send it, and we'll put together a care package from Big Kev's Geek Stuff and send it over to them, because I really do think it's a good cause, and I'd love to promote them and help them out.
That would be great. If you guys out there want to contact OG at, what's your email this week?
GeekStuffOG@gmail.com, or you could send an email to BigKevsGeekStuff@gmail.com, or you can use the Contact Us tab right on the webpage,
BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
What?
Conveniently placed.
That's right. We try to make it easy for that for our people.
Just saying.
So check them out. Let me know if you want to donate something, and I'll let you know how to get it to me so we can get it to them. And, you know, let's help these people out. I think it's a great cause.
You know, there's a great shot of that quarter-scale speeder bike in here, man.
Right back to the speeder bike. How about we go on to what came out on DVD this week? Because I think that might be appropriate for our new segment, so maybe we can wrap it up and move on.
He's a little impatient there, aren't you? A little rush.
My foot is falling asleep.
That's my fault.
See, that's his fault.
At least Pete knows his place.
That's right.
Just saying. The Bourne Supremacy Ultimatum? Bourne Ultimatum.
This is the set, correct?
No, the Bourne Ultimatum has come out, so I'm saying that first. You buy it at Best Buy, you get some additional stuff, nice tin. However, I opted for the Jason Bourne Collection.
Right.
Which collects all three films.
Right.
Bourne Supremacy, Bourne Identity, Bourne Ultimatum, and a bonus disc full of features.
Yes.
It was a nice item, so I picked that up. Looks nice in the package.
Sure.
It's a good pickup.
What else?
Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Now, there are multiple versions of this. Is that correct? There's a regular edition, and then there's a two-disc special?
Regular, a two-disc special. There is also Blu-ray, high def, and they also put out a collectible box with all the first five movies in it.
They did. Did you see that? It's kind of shaped like Harry's trunk.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, you know, they say it's kind of shaped like Harry's trunk, but kind of looks, yeah, no, I guess it kind of looks like a Quidditch trunk, too.
I think it kind of looks more like his buttocks than his trunk. What?
In addition to releasing Order of the Phoenix and the fancy shiny new trunk with all five movies, they've also re-released special editions, I believe, of the first four movies. I don't know how the content varies from what's out there already, other than they all come in a nice slipcase. The packaging is all kind of synced up and matches nicely.
But
you can get those as well if for some reason you missed them over the past years.
And it looks like more of those Harry Potter figures are coming from Mecca.
More of those Harry Potter figures are coming. They're very pretty.
Incredible. So you can expect more great Harry Potter figures from NECA. Can I just say something about NECA also?
Sure,
sir. Can I say a couple of words to you that are going to blow your mind?
Okay.
You sure you're ready?
I'm always ready.
Are you poised at the ready?
I am poised at the mic.
What do you think about Princess Bride?
They should have done figures from that a long time ago. The question I have to ask is it a full series or is it just Wesley?
Full series, sir.
Really? Inigo, Fezzik.
Full series.
Miracle Max.
Coming from
Miracle
NECA.
Max?
Dread Pirate Roberts, probably going to be the first one.
Of course.
They're not saying who else. Possibly Inigo Montoya.
Of course.
Third character could be Buttercup, but it may be Prince Humperdinck in the first series.
Oh, boo!
Perhaps
choice.
A box set with Fezzik and Fizzini.
Okay, see, Fezzik and Fizzini should be in there before Humperdinck. Humperdinck should be in a two-pack with the Six-Fingered Man.
Okay.
And Miracle Max should be in there.
Okay.
And then you can do the albino as like a con exclusive.
Well, I'm sure they have some...
I'm just saying.
I'm sure that they have some plans, but if you
and
check
an
out...
an ROUS also.
Right. If you check out the current issue of Toy Fair featuring the Iron Man action figure cover, it's number 126, by the way. If you sift through the non-toy news, which, again, makes up most of this magazine this time, I don't get it. I don't understand why they do it. It's I don't get it all the time. You know, like...
Oh, okay.
I just don't want to go off on a tirade, but just I just don't get it sometimes.
Anybody want a peanut?
You can see a Dread Pirate Roberts rough sculpt in there.
Save that page, sir. I'd like to look at
and
that.
And he looks spectacular.
Wow. Now, is this with or without mask?
Be with the mask, sir.
Because it's Dread Pirate Roberts.
Exactly.
It's not Wesley.
Right.
Okay.
But Wesley is a Dread Pirate.
I understand that, but with the mask, without the mask.
Maybe he's the... Maybe it's a Dread Pirate Robert. It's,
all right,
maybe it's
totally
a former.
Totally just ruined the movie for me.
I don't really think... First of all, I know you've seen it.
I
and
also
want to
know
all,
if they're going to do a Fred Savage and a Peter Falk action figure. Because well, that would be fantastic.
You know what? If they did it as just a little bed scene, like one of the little cinema scenes...
That would be awesome.
That would be really funny.
That would be really funny.
Can I just say, rounding out DVDs this week,
sure.
Would be Lost Season 3.
Oh, right. I forgot about that.
Which came out. I'm still making my way through season one.
Oh, season one you should have no problem getting through. I can understand two in the beginning part
of time,
three.
It's time, sir. It's time.
I know. You have none.
I have too many DVDs.
I know.
You know what Liz says?
What?
You have too many DVDs.
I could have told you that.
And then we pick out like five or six more together.
Well, that's what happens.
Just saying. We were in the Strand bookstore, one of the most famous bookstores in the world in New York. You know what we bought?
DVDs.
DVDs. Fifth and final volume of Voltron.
The Black Lion.
That's right. Containing episodes 60 through 72.
The African Lion.
contains the lost footage of season 3, the lost episode, remastered film transfer, 5.1 sound mix, vehicle. It contains the vehicle team preview.
Ooh,
which means they're going to start releasing the vehicle team episodes next.
No one's
going to
buy that shit.
No one's buying it. I'm not buying it. History of WEP. A Goleon preview must be something else they're going to put out.
Go Lion, sir.
Go Lion? Oh, okay. Go Lion. What's Go Lion?
I have no idea.
Okay. Goleon.
But I took a stab that Goleon was Go Lion.
It's one word. Goleon. Goleon.
All right.
Intergalactic goalie?
Yes, Goleon. With this, an aisle form blazing hockey stick.
There you go. All right, so I think we need to take a break because we're starting to get a little punchy.
You're not getting.
Is that
okay
Pete's
with you? Fault.
It is Pete's fault, but
let's
I think
take
Pete
a break.
Needs a break from
let's
the
come
blame.
Back with the wrap up.
And... yes, the immediately into the wrap up since this segment has been very long.
Well, I'll trim the fat out.
Oh, I know. I'm just teasing.
If you said anything during it, I'll trim that. And...
I'm just teasing.
Okay. Matt, you have to check out our latest sponsor, In His Likeness.
In His Likeness is a non-denominational view of the gods and how they view us. With pot shots at pop culture, geekdom, and good versus evil, over 250 strips about dots can't be wrong.
Yeah, they're really funny, too. Kind of just a bunch of weird dots. But they have their own sort of little universe, and I think they're really funny.
You can check them out at inhislikeness.com.
Wait, that was mine.
I know, but you threw off the flow. It's
why,
your
aren't
little...
you, why aren't you doing some sort of riff thing? Told me to riff, I riffed.
Yeah, but we don't have anything else to say now other than when
you,
it's updated and when the website
is. You have an
is.
Opinion.
It's not an opinion piece. It's a ad.
Fine. You can check out In His Likeness at inhislikeness.com, conveniently.
and it's updated 3 times a week, Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday. InHisLikeness.com.
Hey, this is Ridley Scott. I'm director of The Blade Runner.
More human than human is our motto.
And you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It's not an easy thing to meet your maker.
Are you sure this is from Shocker?
I swear to God, I was doing my show prep for today, and Jeff Beckett catches me online and says, I want to show you something. I'm like, okay, more empty promises from Jeff Beckett. Great. He goes, no, I swear, this is the coolest thing you've ever seen. And I'm like, it can't be the coolest thing I've ever seen. And if you're listening to the show right now, welcome back to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 85. It's all Pete's fault. And Pete Abrams, Sluggy Freelance, sitting in with us this evening, Sluggy.com, to check out the strip.
That's right.
Which you should, and you should subscribe, and anything else the man asks of you, you should do.
That's right.
Gladly.
Yeah, like give me money.
And that said, speaking of giving money, so...
I'll take some.
What you're looking at right now is some pictures of the new Scud action figure, Scud the Disposable Assassin action figure, that's coming, supposedly coming from Shocker Toys.
I don't even know what to say.
Indie Spotlight Series.
It's amazing.
It is amazing. I really did sigh both verbally and IM-ly. Is that the right word? Instant message-ly?
Emotely.
Sighed. And, and he said, I promise you that you will be pleased with this. I'm like, okay.
Sigh.
Okay, and stop using that jargon. You ain't gonna talk about that shit till next week, so stop using the jargon. And so you're looking at what Jeff Beckett says will be the Scud action figure coming from his toy company, Shocker Toys. I gotta tell you, just like I said before, I'm really excited, and if this one makes it, and the rest of the pieces from Indie Spotlight are going to look anything like this piece, I mean, it's really going to be something for them.
To be honest with you, I'd be happy with just a Scud line.
I know. I think a Scud line would be totally appropriate. But
I mean, that is
spot on.
I don't even know where to start.
Okay.
That is the best looking Scud I think I've ever seen.
I know, but I know you. You're a skeptic, so. You're a whole wait and see guy. I'm gonna be the romantic here, and I'm gonna be the one that says I hope this happens, and I hope it happens soon. Jeff says they're gonna show the whole line at Toy Fair, which we know is coming up in February.
February. Couple weeks.
I know. I gotta register.
2 months. Really? You gotta do that.
I didn't do that yet, and and then shortly thereafter, a month or so thereafter, they will be available. That's what he told me.
Well, if they are actually available, then I think some of the Jeff haters will have to eat a little bit of crow at the very least, because that is impressive what I'm looking at right there.
Okay, well, we're going to have to wait and see. But what we don't have to wait and see on
is
Mattel.
Ooh.
DC Super Friends, my first Batmobile.
That is adorable.
It has lights and sounds action. Let's see if we can get some of these. A couple of lots of things to light up and sound. You can open the cockpit or the, what would you call that?
Well, I guess it's not really
the inside.
The inside. And the body.
It seats two characters,
presumably. The doors don't open. The top does.
It flips up.
Right.
It's nice. That's a nice feature.
And now this will actually hold figures. Is this correct?
Yes. This will hold any two of your DC Super Friends action figures. Okay. Now, for those of you that don't remember, we talked briefly about this. We were shown one in San Diego, Superman. We talked about. And I haven't seen the rest of the line yet. I'm told I'm going to see them real soon, but okay. I know they're out there. These are kind of Mattel picked up where Toy Biz left off with their Spider-Man and Friends. So they're kind of bigger, clunkier sort of figures with some articulation. But these feature your favorite DC characters.
Which we love.
And the first wave includes Batman, Superman, Green Lantern, Aquaman, The Flash, and Lex Luthor.
Right, so almost the JLA.
They have some deluxe figures as well. The Batcycle, the Space Cruiser, each with special Superman and Batman figures accordingly. And then they have Connect and Go figures.
All right.
Which unlock special features here in the Batmobile.
Okay. Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
What do they like? They interact with it somehow?
They interact with it. Yeah, somehow that these particular figures, Green Lantern with the Go Glider.
Okay.
Superman with the space crane and Batman power prop.
All right.
They interact differently with the car here.
That's pretty.
Yeah. Special features. Fits two figures, as we said. Has a net launcher, one of those kind of two missiles with the net tied between it kind of thing, so you can snag your enemy.
Okay.
I have this to say. Where is the Joker?
I don't know.
What, if Lex Luthor is done, why isn't Joker the next figure?
Well, maybe he will be.
Dan Salazar, attention. Where is the Joker from DC Super Friends?
Dan should know by now that if he sends you something and the Joker is not somehow involved, you will be upset.
That he should be prepared to answer.
Well.
One touch jet wings. So apparently you hit some sort of little switch and the jet wings fly out of the side. So I guess my first Batmobile can do a little gliding action.
Wow, that's pretty fancy.
It's got seven different sounds and light combinations. This is a fantastic, fantastic Batmobile. First Batmobile for a little kid.
Were I a younger man, I might put that on my Christmas list.
Well,
my youngest is 7 months. What's the age range on that?
Your youngest is a girl.
That don't matter.
And?
I know, shouldn't be sexist.
My oldest is a 7-year-old, and she was a Justice League nut.
Really?
See?
Oh, yeah. See, I didn't really read the DC comics. I was reading Marvel comics pretty much exclusively back in the day.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, well, no, it was back in the good day.
The good times.
Yeah, what happened was I already knew all the Marvel stories, so I'd be flipping around cartoons or something while I was watching her, and you know, I thought, oh, look, there's depressed Peter Parker in a cartoon again. Yeah, I've seen that a million times. Oh, DC, these stories are new to me. I know who the characters are, but I don't know all the stories and everything.
Right.
So I put them on, and she got indoctrinated, so she's
nice.
All DC.
If I'm reading this,
start them early.
If I'm reading this correctly, it says small parts may be generated so they would not like 0 to 3-year-olds to play with this. So I guess 4 and up, if I'm reading that right.
They don't have the ages right there normally.
Well, no, it says... It says small parts may be generated. It has a little baby with a 0 to 3 with one of those Ghostbuster symbol through it things.
They made it a code so, like, foolish parents will miss it entirely and thus.
I don't think I like what you're saying about Mattel.
I'm not saying nothing,
and
man.
I love Mattel.
I'm not saying nothing.
My first Batmobile, if you have a 4-year-old, then you need to get this product to them.
You know, I'm not ashamed to say if you have a 30-year-old, perhaps.
Are you 30 now?
Huh?
Are you 30 now?
I'm almost 30. Damn. I'm like on the cusp of 30-ness.
I thought I saw some grays.
It's February, sir.
February.
By then, we should be on episode 86.
Yes. this episode might be ending by your birthday.
Exactly.
And let's just say also that the DC Super Friends are the DC cartoon characters, DC characters, intended for little kids. They have a full line of figures. And also, we got to mention this, too. The DC Super Friends Be Brave Buddies plush line has arrived as well. And this is right now, it's the Flash, Superman, and Batman plush. And they all have sounds when you kind of tap them. That was Batman. I think that's him throwing the batarang.
That does kind of sound like the batarang. Can I just say, when I first saw that, when I got into the studio tonight,
right?
I kind of thought it was a Batmite.
He does kind of. He is reminiscent of Batmite. It's true. Right now, there's three in the line.
Right.
And
who are those again? I'm sorry.
It's Batman, The Flash, and Superman.
Okay. Well, that seems to make sense.
And actually, what the great thing about these is these are Pete. I think these are for any age here.
Wow, any age, huh?
I think it doesn't seem to say that somebody can have this, Pete, so I think the kid might be able to have this one.
Let me check the box, because that is one cool-looking little Batman.
You know, and speaking of kids, we have a special guest now in
the
studio
there
with
he is!
Mr. Fantastic.
Wow, thanks for showing up, Fantastic. Wow, it's too bad you couldn't hear that. I could hear that sigh right through the headphones.
That was / sigh in the studio.
Yes, he seems thrilled to be here and alive.
And alive.
We're talking about Mattel's DC Super Friends Be Brave Buddies plush. And also My First Batmobile, which is very cool. This is Pete Abrams, by the way.
Hey, Mr. Fantastic.
I'm pretty positive if he was sitting where I was sitting, he would tell you to wrap it up.
Okay, so you want to check out, maybe in a couple of months, you'll want to check out the Indie Spotlight series, which apparently has been revamped, according to Jeff Beckett. That Scud figure is amazing. But right now, for the holiday season, you will want to have and tell all your friends about and give to every kid who's above four. That's what I'm getting from the package anyway.
Yeah, it's above four.
My first Batmobile.
Right.
And check out the DC Super Friends action figures. They're clunky. They're made for kids. They're nice.
Right.
I think they're all. I think they're just great.
I know. I have a couple of my personal
right.
collection.
And also the DC Super Friends Be Brave Buddies plush.
Aww.
Superman, Batman, The Flash have a little sound effect, and they're excellent. They're excellent figures to start kids off in the collecting vein, in the appreciating action figures vein.
They're completely adorable.
They are. And we'll be right back with yet another epic. We're using the word epic a lot.
Too much. Perhaps.
All right. So let's say we'll be right back with another lengthy.
Oh, no, lengthy. There you go.
That's too accurate. We'll be back with another exciting segment on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 85. It's all Pete's fault.
Exactly.
Sorry.
Oh, God. Another spot?
Oh.
I'm tired of doing these. Why don't we let Fantastic do this one?
Go ahead, Fantastic. It's all you.
I get to do this one?
All you, baby.
All right, here we go. Super Hollywood style.
You want comic books? We got comic books. Come to Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey.
That's it?
I need some more info.
They have games. They have toys.
Visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. Is that the URL?
Why don't you look it up?
Where?
You're at the computer. Why don't you look it up?
Give me something else to say.
The URL? The phone number?
The phone number?
Yeah.
973. What's the phone number?
Pull the fucking URL. Pull the fucking page up.
973-857-9788. And for those of you still living in 1988, you can send them a fax at 973-857-2009.
You can't put that in a commercial?
Well, what if they want to fax
their
order?
You're insulting them. They're a sponsor of the show. You can't insult them and say that their technology's outdated.
Wait, I'm gonna read this list that's here.
Okay. Go ahead.
Comics, collectibles, collectible card games, tabletop games, toys, action figures, manga.
Yo, you got to respond at least.
What am I supposed to say? This is our fault. We are to blame for this. We let him do this.
Why don't you write a script? You know, a script.
I'm Buddhist. I don't believe in scripts.
What the hell am I going to make out of that mess?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to talk to you for a moment. If you're in the New Jersey area and you'd like to purchase comics, collectibles, card games, toys, action figures, manga, or other geek paraphernalia, visit Time Warp Comics and Games, 555 Pompton Avenue, Cedar Grove, New Jersey. Give them a call at 973-857-9788 or visit them on the web at timewarpcomics.com. When she walks, she's like a samba that's...
Greetings, Starfighter. You have been recruited by the Star League to defend the frontier against Zur and the Kodan Armada.
Hey, this is Lance Guest from The Last Starfighter, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
It'll be a slaughter!
That's the spirit!
Ice age heat wave can't complain. If the world's at large, why should I remain? Walked away to another planet. Gonna find another place, maybe one I can stand. I move on to one.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 85. It's all Pete's fault.
Sorry.
We're going to talk now about exactly what is Pete's fault. And that
we
is.
We want to say it's his fault. Yeah. Your fault is so
but it's his fault.
Negative. And this is so positive and good.
It's Sluggy Freelance. You can go over to SluggyFreelance.org.
No, Sluggy.com.
Or Sluggy.com.
Sluggy.com, sir.
I knew it was one of them. I knew he'd say the
You're
right
gonna
one.
You're going to confuse them.
They're already confused. They listen to this show. They don't know what's going on.
That's right.
Now, Pete, you've been doing this for what? 20, 30 years now.
Actually, it was 10 years on August 25th this year.
Wow. Did you have an anniversary strip or gig?
No, instead we had a second child. And as I explained earlier in the show,
yes.
I didn't have time for anything.
So the 11th anniversary will be the big party.
Well, actually, I had a bunch of people sent me a bunch of stuff. I asked, you know, hey, we should have like a celebratory like montage of like artwork and stories and things, and I got so much of it in, and then I just have not had time to put it up. I put up like the first four pages,
right?
And like, you know what? I'm gonna wait until I can get my schedule back together. So probably around the 11th anniversary, we'll have our 10th anniversary celebration. You're actually right.
Nice. That would be awesome. Sluggy Freelance. So it's an online strip. It's been going on for quite a while. It references everything.
Well, yeah. Pete, why don't you tell us a little bit about the strip in your own words?
Well,
as opposed to your words, OG.
Right.
Well, I find that people who are like fans of the strip explain it better than I can, because it's really hard to pin down. It doesn't like fit into one genre or another. Like,
okay, I'll agree with that.
Yeah. Okay.
See?
It kind of bounces all over the place, which is...
It does. I think one of the funniest things that someone has said about the strip is when you think you know where Pete's going, Pete goes in another direction.
Okay.
You know, like if Pete's discussing, it's almost like you want
to
say,
kinda
if
like talking
Pete
to
is,
Pete.
You want to say if Pete is discussing apples, all of a sudden Pete will be discussing oranges. But no, it's like you're discussing apples with Pete and then all of a sudden you're discussing livestock.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It's kind of the same, but yet it's kind of way off as well.
Right.
See, that's already a better description than I could have came up with.
If you, okay. Now, for those of you like me who feel like you can get a good, you can hop right into the strip anytime, and it kind of really explains itself as you go along. And
sure.
Are all the strips archived on the site? How does that work?
When you go to the main page at Sluggy.com, there's a big headline that says, if you're new to the strip, today's comic will not make sense to you. which I've been hearing a lot from people who read the strip, that it doesn't make sense to them at the moment anyway.
Right.
So you'll want to click on that link. It'll take you to a new viewer's guide, which will kind of acclimate you a little bit and try to convince you to start at the beginning. Because a lot of it is kind of built up on the old stuff.
Like right.
You might get it somewhere in the middle, but it's really a better read from the very beginning.
And in an effort to make sure that you can get to the beginning, they are available online, or you can pick up the Megatome number 1, which collects books 1 through 3.
Okay.
Right? Mm-hmm. There's a whole series of books. Remember I explained before about the books and their rarity?
Right.
Pete has heard the call.
Well, that's
gone
good.
Back and taken the books and then recollected them into other books. So you can get Megatome number 1, Born of Nifty.
Right.
Which collects books 1 through 3.
Okay.
You can get Megatome number 2, which is called Little Evils.
Okay.
And that collects books 4 through 6.
4 through 6. Yeah.
Right.
Because I already said 3.
So we're going in blocks of 3. I notice a pattern.
And then afterwards, you can get, no, not Megatome 3. You can get books 7, 8, and 9.
Individually.
Individually.
Well, here's the problem there. The problem's number 452 and 453 of things I need to address at some point. It's actually a little more complicated than that.
Okay.
Megatome 1 is available at the website at Sligo.com through our store. It's
right.
Published, and it's expensive because it's published in the United States, small run.
And no lead.
Well, yes, you can actually lick the book covers freely.
Okay,
nice.
Good.
Megatome 2, I got picked up by Hatherly, which is a publishing house that's an arm of Random House.
So okay.
My second book is available everywhere. It's in all kinds of bookstores. It's online.
Okay.
It's all over the world.
With the second book.
Yeah, with the second book. They wanted me enough to say, we'll start with 2.
Okay.
I think their goal is to, in the future, I don't know if our next step is going to be Megatome 3 or Megatome 1. Not really sure yet.
Okay.
But the problem is we're kind of out of 7s and 8s, and I've got a lot more 9s.
Right.
So I gave you one of the last 7s and 8s.
I see that.
You're
unlucky. And no, I'm not loaning them to you, Fantastic. You can put your hand down.
Bastard.
So, yeah, so I don't know if I go right to Megatome. If we go to Megatome 3, then I'll have to eat the cost on 9, and I don't know. It's just this complicated thing. But
I know how you can get rid of the 9s.
How?
Anybody who buys a 9, you sketch in the front cover of 9.
Are you insane?
No.
You know how many sketches I'd have to do?
Okay. Let's say it's a lot of sketches. You won't be burned on the 9s, will you?
That's a good point. However, my strip may go on hiatus for a few weeks, which burns me in a whole new way.
Now, we all know, if you know that Pete is doing this strip, is like a daily thing, right?
Yes.
So, therefore, Pete is doing a strip every day. It means he's got to write it. He's got to plot it. He's got to draw it out. He's got to make sure it's funny. He's got to do all these things. So, Pete's a busy guy.
He's a multitasker.
Right. Busy guy.
Sure.
So, the fans of Sluggy Freelance, not going to expect Michelangelo's work here. They're going to expect a little, let's say, like a convention sketch, like the one in my book, for example, which is just like, you know, the fans. I sat with 24 of your fans who would slaughter each other for a stuffed rabbit. I think that they would be very pleased to get a remarked version with just a little something, you know, just a little, you just do, you know, if you study the Mike Mignola school of sketching, you can somehow work a bun sketch into a single where you don't even have to lift up the pencil, like an autograph. So it's kind of like bun next. And you do 3 or 4 a day.
I'll think about it.
I'm just saying it's an idea.
Putting him in an awkward spot.
I'm not putting him in an awkward spot. I'm saying that if it does happen, we were the ones that made the suggestion.
I'll give you a nickel.
I don't even want the nickel. It's not about money for me.
I'm keeping the nickel.
It's fine. You know what it's about for me? It's about Pete not getting burned on some books, and it's about making sure the fans get nice.
Well, I don't want to see Pete get burned on some books.
I'm just saying. That's what I'm saying. So presumably at some point, Pete, is it safe to say that Megatome 3 will happen?
At some point.
Right.
You know what's really sad? Since there's only 2 years in each Megatome, roughly.
Right.
I'm about 6 years behind on books.
Right. So there's actually, he should be into like 15
volume 15 or so now.
Yeah, I really should be. I don't know why I'm not. I don't know why.
I think you need to put this stuff together, sir.
Yes.
Because what's going to happen when I look with respect? What's going to happen when I reach the end of book 9?
I don't know.
Log on like everybody else.
And read them online.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I like the book.
You're savvy with the internet.
Fantastic would disagree with you, but
I disagree too. I was being smart.
But that's another point. Most people do like the books. And one of the questions I get asked all the time is if you do these comics every day and you put them out for free, how do you make money?
Right.
That would be the first question I asked you, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, the people who enjoy the strip enjoy it so much that they'll buy the books. They'll buy the adorable plush bun buns. They'll buy the shirts. And we even have a program called Defenders of the Nifty. That's if you want to just kind of give me money to say, hey, thanks for doing such a great comic job. And that's been doing phenomenally well. These people just freely giving me money.
You also have Kiki.
And Kiki. We have plush Kikis, too.
It's
adorable.
It's a small little empire.
Oh, and we have a card game called Get Nifty. And sometime next year, if my brain doesn't explode with all the stuff going on, we might even be putting out a role-playing game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, are you working with somebody on that already?
Yeah, a friend of mine named Brent has been busting his tail on this system for years. And we've been game testing it a lot lately. Actually, at the last convention I was at UberCon, I got to sit in on a couple. And it's just hysterical. It's so much fun. It's a role-playing game.
But right.
The way the rules of the game are set up and the way the character creation is set up,
right.
you're forced into kind of the insanity that happens in Sluggy.
Wow.
It's forced upon you.
And very cool.
Everyone enjoyed the game that has game tested it.
That's great.
So it's mostly written up. We need to figure out how we're going to publish it.
You got to get that guy down here to run a game for us.
I probably could do that.
A little afternoon thing so we can talk about it on the show. That would be awesome.
Oh, sure. I'd love to do that.
You know, Pete's going to become one of our regulars, I think.
You know, Pete is welcome here anytime. And after today, it won't be his fault any longer. So he'll be even more comfortable next time.
That's right.
Yeah, the whole thought thing is really kind of putting me off a little bit.
See?
Hey, tough.
This is how we treat first-timers.
And you know what? And let me tell you, it's not only how we treat first-timers, it's how we treat guys.
Week.
It's how we treat guys who leave us at volume 9.
That's
what it is.
That ain't right.
I'm pumping through these, and I know I'm going to hit volume 9 at the end, and it's just going to be like hitting a wall.
Yeah. Well, I'll see what I can do. Man, there's a reason why the books have been handled the way they've handled that makes sense every step of the way,
right?
But drawing it out would be like drawing a flow chart of discussing exactly why it was it took us like what 3-4 years to actually meet.
Yes, it did take us a while.
There was all reasons for it, but you look at it from a distance and you're like,
and I like to point out to you, Pete, of all the fun times that we could have had. That's all.
Look towards the future, Kev.
I know.
Think of all the times we will have.
I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just saying fun times could have been had by all.
Okay.
All right. I need a moment.
Okay.
All right. I'm done.
Okay. Good. Feel better?
Yeah, a little bit.
So to say that Pete references everything, as I've said before, would kind of be underplaying it.
Okay.
A little. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything that you've ever heard about on this program, things you haven't heard about on this program,
right?
All manner of pop culture and science fiction and all manner of stuff, Pete hits all of it. It's like having a conversation with you and I.
Well, that's a good thing.
But in story form.
That's
a good thing. It's like you and I having a conversation and then Fantastic going, the hell? So Fantastic would be the Sluggy freelance reader in that case, and we would be the strip.
So it's like one of our episodes.
Not dissimilar. Do you know Pete listens to the episode when he draws?
That makes me happy.
Actually, I don't.
See? Now I'm sad.
Well, no. Here's the thing. I have a real problem with you guys and your show. Well, here it is.
I'll join the list.
I'll be working, and I'll have your show on in the background, and I'll hear something where I'm like, what movie is going on? And I'll have to get up, go over to the computer, and shift a little slider bar on iTunes just a hair back so I can hear the story, and I end up having to listen to a full 15 minutes. I go back to my art desk. 2 minutes later, who's playing what role in what Harry Potter film? I have to get up again and do it again. So
it's Jim Broadbent.
Way too much information. You guys are too informative. You need to like cut back on
that. See, that was a problem disguised as a compliment, or a compliment disguised as a problem.
And I love it.
It is
excellent.
That's nice. It is.
He says we know a lot about film. Some people would disagree.
Pete, what would you
see? I believe you guys when you tell me things. Oh. What does that say about me?
Well, that's a mistake, but
everything,
we'll talk about that
later. Wait a minute. Everything that I have said to you ever since the first time we ever communicated has been the truth. I have not lied. And he came to, you know, he came here tonight expecting Studio A to be like this cold, kind of very mechanical, very uncomfortable place. Well, and you know what he said 10 minutes in? He's like, I'm perfectly comfortable here.
Well, we try to make it comfortable.
I'm surrounded by things that make me comfortable.
With the exception of the fact that my entire right leg is dead.
This is supposed to be my segment, okay?
Oh, sorry.
You want to give each other a hug?
Forgot. So, Pete Abrams Geek Stuff, episode 85, it's all Kev's fault.
Take it away, Pete.
What else?
What would you say to a person who has never read Sluggy Freelance? Like, Fantastic. Fantastic has never read Sluggy Freelance. So what would you say, like, to Fantastic to get him to check out your strip?
Well, if you take the trouble to just go to the website, just go to Sluggy.com and start at the first strip, and maybe, I mean, these comics are 10 years old at this point.
Right.
Give it a week or two. If it clicks with you, keep reading. If not, go about your business. It's not, you know, it's not like I have a big advertising push or anything.
Right.
But I have been making a living at this for 10 years.
So somebody's reading it.
So someone's reading it.
Yeah. So you should do it or else.
It's one of those sort of underground things that you hear kind of passing from person to person at cons and things like that. I mean, that's how I heard of it, as I said at the top of the show. You know, somebody or several people actually had contacted me wanting to know if we had ever talked about it or heard of it or anything like that. And that's how it all happened for me. And then my crazy friend Ada and everything else. And which led us to this today, or us meeting rather, and having him on the show, Pete on the show, explaining about the book.
One thing that's really cool about Sluggy is every now and then we get like guest artists to come in and fill in and do a week or something.
Right.
I actually managed to get Phil Folio to do a week at Sluggy, and that was a big honor for me because
that's
I've been a
awesome.
Big fan of his for a long time.
And which volume is that in?
That's not out in book yet.
Oh, I see.
That was last month.
I'll put a link on the site or something to make it easier for you to get to the week.
Okay.
What's interesting is down the road, one of my characters, Zoe, ends up getting this tattoo. I don't think this will spoil anything. It's a necklace that's cursed. She puts on the necklace. It sinks into her chest, creating a tattoo mark, and it causes her to turn into a certain animal when a certain word is spoken.
Okay.
Well, Phil Folio drew the week. He forgot to add the tattoo and said, oh, have your colorist just put that in. When Phil Folio draws a woman, there is no room between her neck and her breasts.
Yeah, yeah.
We had so much trouble trying to fit the tattoo in there.
That's so funny. Do you have any other guest artists that you're lining up for this?
Almost all the guest artists are in the webcomic world. So.
Oh, right. So, okay, so what does that mean? They're less? You can tell us who they are.
Well, first of all, there's so many of them. I'd feel bad if I left one out and mentioned one over the other.
All right. Instead of mentioning some that have, do you have some that are coming up?
Well, they also tend to be surprises when they do come up.
Okay, so we don't want to spoil that.
Right.
You're a fountain of information, you are.
I know. I'm sorry.
Okay, I don't mind. Look, I want to be surprised.
Phil Folio did that.
6-7 years from now, when I catch up, I want to be surprised that he didn't mention that Jim Lee would be taking over the strip for a week.
Well, we hope to start doing a regular kind of webcomic thing on the show where we're going to have different people come in on occasion to talk about some stuff. So every time someone comes in, we'll just be like, so did you do
Sluggy Freelance? Oh, that's cool.
Are you going to do Sluggy Freelance?
That's awesome.
That is the number one question
we're going to ask every artist from now on that we interview. Have you done Sluggy Freelance yet?
So prepare your answers.
That's it. That's the new bit. Thanks,
well,
Pete.
Hey, you know, if you're ever
Icebreaker.
If you're ever doing a show on webcomics or you're interviewing another web cartoonist,
uh-huh.
Give me a call. I'll give you all the dirt on them.
We have one next week.
We do have one next week.
We have
Jamie Patton from In His Likeness.
Oh, see, because I don't actually read any other webcomics, so I don't know anything, but I can lie and pretend I do.
Nice. Okay.
Give you some false info.
I know some stuff about Jamie.
Yeah, well, you've known Jamie for quite some time.
Just saying.
All right.
good. Is there, Pete, so in conclusion, is there anything else that we need to know that you need to impart to the listeners of Big Kev's Geek Stuff with regards to Sluggy Freelance, Sluggy.com?
No, just go to the site, check it out, and if you like it, you know, keep on reading. If you don't, In either case, whether you really love it or you really hate it, I'm sorry. See how I segued into the whole thing? Because
it's his fault. Because
it's
See?
All my fault.
See how he does that?
You know, he's good.
It's amazing.
He's getting too comfortable, I think.
I do get emails from people who Sluggy has either ruined their GPA or gotten them fired or all kinds of things. So sometimes when they do really like it, I mean it when I say I'm sorry.
Do you know that Pete picked the music for this episode, too?
He did.
Yeah, coming into this segment, we heard World at Large by Modest Mouse.
That's right.
It
is a good tune. I like the Modest Mouse.
Sluggy.com. The strip is called Sluggy Freelance. It's all about you, people. Now, you have to go out there. You have to read it. You have to check it out. And I'm quite sure, I'm positive in saying, I adore the thing. I think it's great. And I think everybody that enjoys this show would enjoy that strip as well.
I know I do.
Okay.
And I'd like to read more of it, which means I'm going to have to borrow some of your volumes.
Fantastic. Are you now having had Pete Abrams here, are you going to check out Sluggy Freelance?
You betcha, Kev.
Wow.
Just going to get that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get that as a drop, and I'm just going to, I'm just going to use it for everything.
I hope he likes it better than that old new Ultimates book.
Oh, let me tell you about that new Ultimates book. Everyone
around you was. Attention Geek Stuff listeners, do you have a business, website, or other product or service that you would like to advertise on BigKevsGeekStuff.com or the show Big Kev's Geek Stuff? Reach thousands and thousands of people each and every week for a low, low price.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff offers advertising prices for everybody's budget. For more information on these packages, check out BigKevsGeekStuff.com and click on the advertising button.
Big Kev's Geek Stuff, the best geek exposure for your advertising dollar. Advertising space.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and whenever I'm in the US, I listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and whenever I'm not in the US, I listen to BigKevsGeekStuff.com. Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner, and when I'm not eating my bubble and squeak, I'm listening to BigKevsGeekStuff.com.
Hello, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. When I'm not eating my bubble and squeak or shooting the chavs, I like to listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. More bangers and mash, please.
Gee, howdy. This is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com. Whenever I'm in the U.S. and speak like house, I listen to Big Kev's Geek Stuff.
Hi, this is Adrian Faulkner from Action-Figure.com, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Bubble and squeak.
Are back with the final segment, the wrap-up of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 85. It's all Pete's fault.
Yes, it is.
Sorry.
I blame him entirely.
What did we talk about tonight?
We talked about a little of everything, sir. We talked
and
about...
And that's the end.
Huh? What happened?
A little of everything, and that's the end.
Oh, and that's it. So long, and thanks for all the fish. No. Will the Justice League have a new name? Maybe. Maybe not. Ray Park will be Snake Eyes, although I think he's too short.
Zorro series by Dynamite Entertainment, written by Matt Wagner, drawn by Francesco Franciavilla. Very exciting to see that.
Tales of the Shepherd, chronicling the stories of Shepherd Book before he joined the crew of the Serenity, coming to you sometime soon.
Couple of comics to check out. Simon Dark, the grotesque guardian of Gotham City from DC issue 3 is out. And The Engineer from our friends at Archaia Studio Press. Looks very interesting.
The AT movie is coming out. It is on the horizon. I know you're eager about that.
Batman Gotham Knight coming this summer from Warner Brothers Animation. It's supposedly 6 short stories that kind of fill in the gap a little between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight coming out this summer with the Joker in it. Yes. You can see a preview of that Batman Gotham Knight on Justice League The New Frontier, based on the graphic novel by Darwin Cook. Coming to DVD in late February. And if you haven't checked out New Frontier, which you ought to, you should check out from DC Direct Series 2 of their New Frontier action figures. 4 figures in the line: Dr. Fate, Martian Manhunter, The Flash, and Batman, who looks like he's about to hock a loogie. Right. Very exciting, very stylized action figures. This New Frontier, absolutely a fantastic book. You really should check it out.
Yes, very pretty, very nice, and the DVD will be fun as well. Brandon Sanderson is the man who is going to pen A Memory of Light, the final chapter in the Wheel of Time series, now that we've lost Robert Jordan earlier this year, from Amyloidosis.
Volume 10, Wheel of Time, Dollar Store, Dollar Tree, $1 for you.
There you go.
Hardcover. I think it's first edition.
We also talked about a couple of DVDs tonight.
Right. Kev? The Bourne Ultimatum has come out. You can get the special tin edition at Best Buy. I went for the Ultimate Bourne Experience, the Jason Bourne collection. Collects all 3 films and gives you a special bonus disc as well.
Right.
Ooh, da lolly. Also, Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix.
Right.
Hermione gets a tiny bit hotter in this one, if that's possible. And Voltron Volume 5, The Black Lion, collecting episodes 60 through 72. All new features, all new excitement, including the vehicle team preview.
Ooh.
Hello. Never, ever going to talk about that again, ever on this show.
And let's not forget Lost Season 3, also out on DVD this week.
Right.
In the second segment of tonight's show, we talked about a couple of great Mattel products.
We did. We talked about DC Super Friends Be Brave Buddies, the plush series featuring the Flash, Batman, and Superman. They all come with exciting sounds when you tap them. They're really cute, really appropriate for kids. It's a great way to get the kids started on these superheroes. As well as DC Super Friends My First Batmobile.
Adorable.
Which can hold 2 of the DC Super Friends action figures. Series 1 is out now, Series 2 coming soon. I know for a fact that Cyborg and Hawkman in Series 2.
Very nice.
Just saying. Lights and sounds and a firing net, and it's just a fantastic toy overall.
Sure.
This is, I think, I'm going to say it, this is the toy for Christmas this year. This is the one.
All right.
I'm going to go on record as saying My First Batmobile, toy of the year for this Christmas season.
Okay.
We also made mention of the fact that Jeff Beckin and Shocker Toys look like they're going to do some impressive Indie Spotlight 6-inch figures.
Oh, that's good.
That Scud figure looks great. Let's hope it goes through that way. I'm excited to see what he's going to show at Toy Fair. Maybe I'm a dreamer. Maybe I'm going to catch a lot of shit, but
You're going to catch a lot of shit,
I know.
Sure.
But I think I'm gonna put myself out there again and say that if this Scud is half as impressive as it looks in the picture that you saw earlier, or the one you can check out over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com, I think I, as a fan of that book, am going to be really pleased.
In the third segment of tonight's show, we talk to our special in-studio guest, Mr. Pete Abrams.
Hello.
Thank you, Pete.
You're welcome.
We talked about Pete's daily online strip, Sluggy Freelance. You can check it out at sluggyfreelance.tv. And
or sluggy.com.
Hey. He's not even listening.
No, I was looking at all the toys on your shelf.
See, he's mesmerized.
Like, I know.
Sluggy.com.
Pinky in the brain up
people.
There and a yeah. Darth Tater.
Studio A is awash with special figures, sir.
It is awash.
Right? And Sluggy.com, let's say it again, Sluggy.com. If you have not checked out this, you are really doing yourself a disservice. This is a funny strip. It is in your genre. Pete references everything. He has exciting characters, interesting storylines, funny stuff. He's got some books, if you can get them. He's got some plush, which are now available in the store. As he makes that look on my face, don't say my stuff's not available, dude. It's available. I got to feed that baby.
No, I was actually watching the turtle.
Oh, yeah. The turtle tank, too. I forgot that was in Studio A. That used to be behind you in Studio A. We moved it. Part of the you know, we're redesigning Studio A. Redesigning Studio A.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just saying. We're going to work through the construction, okay. though. Because
the show must go on.
Because we don't. Well, because Studio V is almost done now. So
right.
When Studio V is done, we're going to do some stuff in Studio V. Hopefully that's going to be, I think, soon.
I'd also like to remind our listeners, the best listeners in the world, that we here at Big Kev's Geek Stuff would like you to check out heroesforheroes.org. That's H-E-R-O-E-S, the number 4, H-E-R-O-E-S. org. Again, I'd like to get together a package that we could send out to them so that they could send something to some soldier who wants to read some good books or listen to some music, check out some films. So if you're interested in submitting something for that package, shoot me an email. Let me know what you want to contribute, and I'll tell you how to get it to us.
I understand. I understand Pete Abrams has some Volume 9 of Sluggy Freelance that,
oh, really?
That he might want to send to some soldiers.
Wow.
Just saying.
I didn't hear him say that.
That's what I heard.
It's a rumor. But actually, I'll dump a bunch of stuff into that.
Oh, well,
there
thank
you, go.
Pete. See,
Pete
there
Abrams.
You, go.
You can hop right in and send GeekStuffOG an email at GeekStuffOG@gmail.com.
That's right.
And, you know, he will coordinate the package that we're going to be sending. And we're very, very excited to do this. Fantastic is awash with excitement.
He is.
I used a wash twice.
I'm impressed.
A flutter. No.
Okay. Can
no.
we wrap up this episode?
We could.
Don't forget to check us out online at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. You can subscribe to us on iTunes by searching for Geek Stuff under the podcast search engine. And, you know, leave us some feedback. You can dig us if you want. And spread the geek
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, man.
Word.
Go to Dig and dig our episodes. That's true. If you are subscribing to us in iTunes, please go to the iTunes store and drop us a review.
Right.
iTunes reviews are very important.
Right.
So if you could do that for us as well. Also, if you'd like to hear more of us on XM Satellite Radio, you can drop an email to eric.logan@xmradio.com.
Right.
And let's see. Have we self-plugged enough? Oh.
I think so.
No, we haven't. We've forgotten a couple of ventures.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Coming in January, Big Kev Eats Stuff.
Ugh.
That's coming in January. We're all very excited about that project.
Not really.
We are.
Okay.
Video segments. Big Kev's Geek Stuff invades YouTube in a real way. Not in that we have a few seconds of our show up their way.
Right.
That is coming in January as well. Very exciting time.
And don't forget, you could still get your Flash Gordon exclusive commentary, Sam Jones and Melody Anderson. Those discs are still available. The MP3 download is still available. You can check that out again at BigKevsGeekStuff.com and spread the word on that for us if you
right,
want.
Right. Fantastic. Do you have any final words for episode 85. let me try that again. Fantastic. Do you have any final words for episode 85? It's all Pete's fault.
You betcha, Kev. All right, I'm ready. You guys want to do an episode?
And on that note, we cue the music.